Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Matt Gaetz joins us. Why is the IRS buying so much ammunition? Tom Fitton talks about West Point going woke, talking about Durham. And finally, where are the 14,000 hours of footage of what happened on January 6th? You can email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA Today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school chapter, start a college chapter today at tpusa.com. Come to our Student Action Summit at tpusa.com/SAS. That is tpusa.com/SAS. Gutfeld, Waters, Kayleigh McEnany, Trump, DeSantis, tpusa.com/SAS. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. We've got some emails here. People are pretty upset. Charlie, thanks for bringing the subject forward. I have two relatives who left due to mandatory jabs and lack of leadership. It's happening all across our military. And most Republicans just don't care. Most Republicans aren't just they're just not talking about it at all. This one question from Penny. Charlie, when, how, and where did drag queens become so important? Because the last few months, I don't think they were so prevalent. Why are we allowing these perverts to indoctrinate our children and the adults? I'm confused why this is all being allowed. That is a good question. With us to help unpack a different story, but very important, is Matt Gaetz. Matt, welcome back to the program.
Oh, thanks so much, Charlie. And I know we have important work to talk about, but regarding the military vaccine issue, tomorrow, the National Defense Authorization Act will be marked up in the House Armed Services Committee. I will introduce an amendment to end the vaccine mandate, to reinstate everyone who has been driven out of the military with their rank and back pay. And what your emailer is correct about is that it won't just be Democrats opposing me. When I offered this amendment previously, it was the leading Republican on the House Armed Services Committee, Mike Rogers, who opposed my amendment and who said that it should be the Republican position that we have a 100% vaccination rate in the military. That is something that I strongly oppose, and I don't think that should be the view of the leading Republican on armed services.
Yeah, I mean, it's just shocking. And I mean, do they look at data? I mean, do they look at what's actually happening? It's incredible. So I want to get to the story here. Is it true that Joe Biden's IRS spent approximately $700,000 on ammunition the last couple months? How is this even possible?
Just in 2022 alone, the IRS bought $725,000 worth of ammunition. And so they've got about 2,000 agents who engage in law enforcement. I sort of think about the IRS as people in windowless cubicles with green eye shades, not people, you know, busting doors down and unloading ammunition. But nonetheless, even if that were the case, you're looking at over 1,200 rounds of 9mm ammunition for every single agent that the IRS has. And I think it is mission creep. And what's interesting is that while the Biden administration is doing everything they can to stop law-abiding Americans from getting firearms and ammunition, they are, on the other hand, soaking up the supply that exists in the marketplace and using it for the government, not for the citizenry.
Is it possible other departments are doing the same thing that we don't know about?
There are very curious purchases of ammunition across the enterprise of government. Perhaps the oddest one I found, the Railroad Retirement Board spent thousands and thousands of dollars on 9mm ammunition. And so it is true that every single agency seems to want their own army and that they want to be armed well.
It's very suspicious at the very least. So give us some more insight into kind of what's happening in D.C. It's very interesting. So we have the IRS buying $700,000 worth of ammunition. We're sending $40 billion to Zelensky, which no one has given me a good excuse why we're doing that. And then Republicans are negotiating gun control. So let me get this straight. Guns for Zelensky, ammunition for the IRS, but we want to try to make it harder for you, the citizen, to get a gun. Help me unpack that.
Well, you know that the nodes of power in Washington, D.C. always want to grow like a cancerous tumor. And all they want is anything they have and anything that borders it. And as these agencies have more and more mission creep, they literally mission creep into law enforcement. And I think you're right. The Republican Party has not done enough to stand up against Joe Biden's effort to try to arm, you know, battalions oceans away while at the same time disarming American citizens. Republican senators have been totally willing to go along with Joe Biden in both endeavors. And right now, the greatest threat to your Second Amendment rights, Republicans in the United States Senate cutting deals on red flag laws to bribe states to enact them. It was crazy to me that I heard Senator Cornyn respond recently that, well, you know, we're not for a federal red flag law. We're just going to make it easier for states to enact red flag laws. The reality there is that they want to see high utilization of the apparatus of government taking people's guns away without due process, without an opportunity to be heard in some cases. It is not an appropriate use of the federal tax dollar to buy ammunition for the IRS or, in this case, to be engaging in the other tomfoolery that we see from Republican senators willing to bribe states for red flag laws.
It's just extraordinary. So there's so many other issues happening in the country that are not being addressed in Washington, D.C. We just spent a whole hour talking about what's happening in our military. You represent a very military-heavy district. Can you talk about, I mean, for example, U.S. Army teaching critical race theory to West Point cadets? U.S. Navy orders this one, how Navy is training sailors on proper gender pronouns. U.S. Air Force Base Community Center hosts drag time story hour after initially being canceled by the military. What is driving this, Matt? I mean, this is not a slight at the enlisted, at the wonderful heroes that serve in our military. But what about the officers? What about the people at the top levels of our military? Where is this coming from?
Well, the patriotism still burns very bright among those who are signing up to serve our country in a variety of facets in the military. But, I mean, does it feel sometimes, Charlie, like our military is being run by men in dresses at the Pentagon? I mean, every time I have a question to the opportunity to question Lloyd Austin, the Secretary of Defense, Mark Milley, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, they are just full-throated in their embrace of wokeism. Now you have a circumstance, Charlie, where service members can actually defy orders to go to a state like Florida or Texas or Mississippi because those states don't have the right abortion laws, or maybe the Don't Say Gay bill would allow someone to refuse orders. So this isn't just using the military for social justice goals. It is actually an erosion of our readiness because we aren't focused on the lasers and munitions and hypersonics and drones and swarming capabilities where in some cases we are being outpaced by China. Instead, they're focused on pronouns, socialism. I mean, at the National War College, there was actually a lesson taught by a visiting professor about the values of democratic socialism. You know, they realize that the DOD was one of the last areas of Washington, D.C. that had not been just totally sucked up by the radical left. You know, they'd already controlled the Department of Labor, the EPA, the Department of Education. And like the DOD was the last one. And now you see how focused and persistent the effort is from the Biden administration to ruin our military.
So, but help me understand this. So you have these neoliberal, neoconservative Republicans that want to invade every sovereign country in the world, like Lindsey Graham. How will Lindsey Graham have the fighting force to go do his war games if the military is too busy talking about pronouns? That just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Where are the neocons here? It's the one thing that we actually might be able to agree on with them.
Yeah, I would welcome that agreement. I want a military that is strong, focused, appreciated, and rarely used, and in fact, only used for the interests of our country, not foreign interests abroad, yes, not special interests here at home. And you're right, the neoconservatives won't be able to play their war games if we convert the military into drag queen story time instead of the most lethal fighting force.
What's so incredible about this is that the drag time happened at a military base in Germany. It's happening which is just hundreds of miles away from what we're told is new Hitler invading Ukraine. So it's like, wait a second, if you really believed he was Hitler, why are you allowing drag time story hour at your military bases? That doesn't make, maybe you actually don't believe he's the threat you say he is.
I don't want a military that's just forever in low-yield conflict and in this sort of low-yield social justice apparatus. I revere our military.
Yes,
I love our
military,
as I know you do as well.
But the Millie in Austin, not so much. So, Matt, we got an email from a listener, and they said, all the politicians in D.C. are terrible, but I like Matt Gaetz. So that should be a great compliment.
Well,
you,
maybe,
man.
That means I'm a statesman, not a politician in D.C.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, people say, Charlie, are you going to run for office? I said, not at gunpoint. I wouldn't want to be a politician. It just sounds terrible and awful. I like what we're doing.
You like you having your hands on your weapons where you are, being able to get folks enthusiastic about
that's
the changes.
That's right, and get to host radio and do all these wonderful things. So, Matt, I want to kind of keep building this out, though. I just, before I ask you about you potentially nominating Trump for Speaker of the House, which I find to be hilarious, I want to ask you about prioritization. Why is it the Republican Party, help our viewers and listeners understand, why do they with an urgent pace sprint to the House floor, cancel their vacations, postpone their fundraisers to go send Zelensky $40 billion while our border remains wide open, we're living through an opioid epidemic, suicide is on the increase? Explain to me the calculus, the drama, what goes on in the inner hallway discussions where it's actually $56 billion total. Help me understand this because I feel like I live in a different planet.
We have an element of the Republican Party in Washington that seeks to return to the neoconservative mean. And remember, Charlie, the Biden administration only requested $15 billion for our own border. During the Trump administration, we had to beg and plead with Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell to get, $1.7 billion for our border wall with Mexico. And yet, with really no question, we send, you're right, the number's closer to $56 billion over to a conflict in Europe where the direct connection to American life is tenuous at best. And I think it's because a lot of Republicans believe that America's role in the world is to be the global piggy bank, to be the global policeman. And oftentimes, there are a lot of contractors and a lot of global actors that get this money. I mean, right now, there's not a whole lot of incentive for the Ukrainian elites to conclude these hostilities, because as long as the hostilities are ongoing, the cash spigot remains on. And a lot of these folks have offshore accounts. There are sales of U.S. military equipment right now happening on the dark web, and we're being played as fools. Totally. And it's not as if we don't know that. It's that we're willing participants in the grift, because a lot of people in Congress have a lot of friends who do well on that personally and financially in securing their own power bases, even as we see the American people continue to get crushed by irresponsible decisions in Washington.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked that they want to send money to Ukraine. I mean, they want to send money everywhere. The thing that shocks me is the amount and the urgency. It's as if every other domestic problem has been solved. Let me be clear. I don't believe in any of the money should be sent there. I've said that for a while. But it wouldn't surprise me. They said, okay, let's do $500 million. Like, okay, whatever, sure. I wouldn't make that big of a thing. But $56 billion, Matt, while people in your district, they can't afford gas or groceries. And so I just find the whole thing to be so extraordinary. Okay, you have said that you are going to nominate Donald Trump for Speaker of the House if we take back the House in November, which I believe we will. Tell us your case.
Donald Trump has a unique ability to be able to marshal conservatives toward an agenda and outcomes. Too often, congressional leadership is solely determined by who can raise the most money and redistribute the most money from political action committees and lobbyists. And that means that many of our leaders have already sold shares of themselves to large corporations, woke corporations, and a lot of interests that aren't American interests. And so I think that Donald Trump has the vision and the energy to do it. What I have to confess to you, Charlie, is the rod tip has not exactly bent with his interest on the subject. I've tried to sell. You only have to be speaker for like an hour. Just take the gavel from Nancy Pelosi. Look at that look on her face. Give a great speech. And then we can elect Jim Jordan to be speaker or something. But I've tried to convince him on a short tenured speakership. But in every conversation, it seems he has his eyes on a different job in our federal government.
I think he would be the first person to be president and speaker. I know that John Quincy Adams was president and member of Congress. I don't think he became Speaker of the House. He definitely wasn't, because he was in the minority advocating for abolitionist slavery. Good luck becoming speaker in the 1820s with that view. So he'd be the first ever, I believe, to be both the Speaker of the House, and he would be a non-member speaker, which would be hilarious. Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz represents a beautiful part of Florida. Thank you so much for joining us, Matt. We deeply appreciate it.
Thank you, and we're honored to have you as a Florida man now too, Charlie.
There we go. Out Arizona now. Long story. Tell you later. Look, free speech, religious liberty, and the Second Amendment. Our rights are being destroyed across the board. And look, many months ago, I told our team, I am sick of paying all this money to these cell phone providers that hate me and hate our values. So I said, go find that really cheerful guy. I think his name was Glenn at one of our events, and he kept on wearing the Patriot Mobile shirt. Found him, sat down in Dallas. We had a great meeting. And I vetted Patriot Mobile head to toe. Their business model, how they do things. And I was convinced that we must partner with them. They're not only America's only Christian conservative cell phone provider, they're one of the few companies fighting back. They offer the same nationwide coverage as the major carrier. So you get the same great service plus the peace of mind, and your money is combating the left's attempt to silence you. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget. And their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer service. Patriot Mobile shares your values, and they support organizations fighting for religious liberty, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, like Turning Point USA, and veteran and first responder heroes. So here's how it works. If you have a big major carrier, you are funding the bad guys. That money might as well be a check, Democrat National Committee, or you could have it go to Patriot Mobile, where they give their proceeds back to Turning Point USA, veterans, and amazing groups. It's a no-brainer. So go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation with the offer code CHARLIE. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. Between the left, the media, and all these rhinos, we need to stick together. Patriot Mobile helps you do that. It's a way to get engaged. It's a way to engage in the corporate warfare that's happening. So do me a favor, check it out. PatriotMobile.com/Charlie. We've switched everything over, and we love Patriot Mobile. Producer Andrew is a massive fan. PatriotMobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Don't give your money to BLM or the Alphabet Mafia or whatever when you are doing the regular thing. Instead, make the switch. PatriotMobile.com/Charlie. The only reason we know about this story out of West Point, them teaching critical race theory, is thanks to the phenomenal organization, Judicial Watch, one of the best organizations on the planet, run by Tom Fitton, who's a great American patriot. And it's just amazing when we go through the details of that. And he joins us right now. Tom, welcome back to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Hey, Charlie. Good to be with you. Appreciate the kind words.
I mean it. You guys really get into the weeds, and you reveal what's happening at a deeper level than almost anybody else. So tell us about the story, U.S. Army teaching critical race theory to West Point cadets. How'd you get this information, and what do you believe is the significance of it?
Well, we had to sue for it, as usual. The government doesn't like giving us information, so we asked for records about CRT training, I think not only once, but twice. So we had two federal lawsuits because they refused to respond to our request in a timely way or at all about what they were doing with CRT up there. And they finally turned over at least some documents, which, you know, are outrageous. But, you know, given the fanaticism that the Biden administration has about critical race theory and incorporating it into its whole governance program, it's frankly no surprise. But it's deadly serious in the sense that we have our rising officer corps in West Point, you know, the U.S. Military Academy there. Was founded by, set up by George Washington. It's the, you know, it's part of our nation's history, and certainly it's the core, you know, it's core to our military history as well. And our cadets, our rising officers, are being force-fed this CRT material that talks about, and I'm sure you've talked about this on the show, white privilege, black victimization, white oppression. There's language in there talking about slavery in modern America, suggesting that blacks are facing something like slavery today. And it's anti-Americanism. It's Marxism. It's repackaged Marxism. And they're not being trained in it as a warning that this is what we combat as a military, this type of thinking abroad. No, it's this internal undermining of our military culture and our constitutional system in the heart of in the heart of the Army, the West Point.
I mean, I want to just read some of this from your wonderful exposure here. Do you think affirmative action creates an environment for reverse discrimination? Use CRT to support your answer. In another slide, it says that racism is ordinary and white Americans have primarily benefited from civil rights legislation. It says that white people are more likely to have a college education, receive recommendations for medical screenings, receive bank approval for a mortgage, or get promoted at a job. It also states that black people are more likely than white people to live in poverty, be homicide victims, or be incarcerated. So what's amazing about this, Tom, and you've done a lot of lawsuits around this critical race theory issue, is that sometimes they'll hide the idea of critical race theory. According to your revelations at Judicial Watch, it literally says CRT, does it not?
Oh, yes. The cadets are expected to explain themselves using the language of CRT in a debate about affirmative action. And, you know, and to read it is to kind of highlight the absurdity of it. I mean, it's absurd to us, but that's the way these Marxists talk about these issues. It's intellectually, obviously, weak. It's historically ignorant. But of course, at its core, it's about a revolutionary approach to undermining everything America is about. And when they talk about white privilege and black victimization, telling the whites in the class that they're oppressors, telling the blacks in the class that they're victims and the equivalent of slaves, how does that work in terms of setting up a cohesive army, a cohesive military, esprit de corps? What is happening there? Who's running our military? And I ask that rhetorically. But, you know, I was noting on Fox today, Charlie, you remember Biden came in and did that purge of the boards of visitors of this military academy,
right.
The service academies. He knocked out General Keane, for instance, from the West Point Board of Visitors. Now, the Board of Visitors doesn't necessarily run West Point, but it provides a level of expertise and advisory capacity to look at this type of activity. And of course, that whole advisory board has been largely shut down for the last almost 6-8 months. So this is what's happening. And Biden's responsible. The Secretary of Defense is responsible. And the military leadership, and you know, when we're talking about West Point, everyone, as anyone in the Army, knows what's going on. So all the entire officer class is responsible for this. If they're allowing it to happen, shame on them.
It sure seems that way. I want to shift gears for a second here, Tom. For the last 2 years, you've been coming on our program. We've been talking about John Durham and the entire Russia investigation. And Judicial Watch was instrumental throughout the years of uncovering FISA abuse and what the FBI was doing. What's your current read on the entire investigation? It went really hot with Sussman, and now it's gone completely quiet. What's your take? Where do you think we are?
It was a Justice Department Republican investigation. So in many ways, it seems to me, you had the worst of both worlds. Caution and institutionalism. Mm-hmm. So what do? They went after, appropriately, this Clinton gang lawyer who lied to the FBI. There's really no doubt he did. But what they avoided doing was they avoided indicting the co-conspirators. And I use the word indict and co-conspirator in the loose sense of the words. And so Hillary Clinton obviously was involved in all of these lies. She's nowhere to be seen. the FBI, it became clear even in the course of the trial. It was incredible to me, Charlie. I don't know if you noticed this, but the FBI was in on it. You know, how is it you can persuade a jury here in D.C. that one of the top lawyers for the Democratic Party goes into the lawyer for the FBI, talk about something having to do with obviously the campaign, even though it was all a big lie, and the FBI pretends, oh, we had no idea this person was coming from Hillary. Of course they knew. And indeed, the information from the trial suggested that the leadership of the FBI didn't want the line agents investigating it talking to the sources of this material. Oh, boy. So, you know, it was a terrible loss, in my view, for the rule of law here. But it highlighted that, A, Hillary did it, and the FBI's compromised, and that Durham evidently doesn't want to do the hard work and the heavy lifting, as I call it, of taking on the bad guys in the federal government, namely those who are running the FBI and the Justice Department's unprecedented and a corrupt operation to try to destroy a president. Sedition with a capital S, Charlie.
If we did that to a Democrat, we know exactly what would happen. They deployed Mueller for far less, not even anything less. It was rumors. It was a fake Mueller thing to go investigate and indict anyone in Trump's orbit. So, Tom, I want to ask you, if my memory serves me correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Judicial Watch was suing for some of the footage on January 6th. Is that right? If so, what is the status of that? Because based on what I have heard, there's still 14,000 hours of missing footage.
Yeah, that's the word that the government gave to the courts in their January 6th prosecutions. And so what we asked for was all of the footage and the emails of the security apparatus in the House and the Senate that oversaw the Capitol Hill police. There's a special board appointed at that time by McConnell and Hillary and Nancy Pelosi. So this is a bipartisan focused inquiry, right? And so they came back and told us, you can't have any of the videos. You can't have any of the emails. We have sovereign immunity from being asked questions about documents. And even if you could sue us, these documents aren't public records because in part, the public isn't really interested in getting this. There's no public interest in getting it. So you have Hillary, you have Pelosi's Congress trying to jail individuals for citing privilege and refusing to cooperate with her while they're citing privilege and refusing to turn over 1 second of any video about January 6th. So what are they hiding? And I suspect we know what we're hiding. They're hiding. If it was helpful to them, it'd be released, the emails and the video, and it's not helpful, and they're hiding it. And it's been fully briefed, and we're just waiting for the court to move.
Yeah. Incredible. Tom, thank you so much for joining us. JudicialWatch.org. That is JudicialWatch.org. Great as always.
You're welcome, Charlie. Thanks for covering this.
Of course. Absolutely. Thank you. Hey, everybody. This Common Sense is brought to you by the folks at SecondVote.com. Amazing people who are fighting back against woke corporations. Subscribe now at SecondVote.com, promo code Charlie.
Good afternoon. I'm Rebecca Hatfield, president of Second Vote. We've had uniquely American common sense since 1776, but now we're in the age of common nonsense. Today's nonsense comes in the form of calls for gun control. What happened in Uvalde was an unimaginable tragedy, and we know how the left never lets a tragedy go to waste. They want to strip you of your Second Amendment rights, but this isn't just an attack on your rights. It's part of a bigger assault on the American family. When the left attacks your rights to keep and bear arms, they're attacking your right to defend your family. And while the woke companies say they care about children, they're giving the hard-earned dollars you spend with them to the abortion industry. Companies like Dick's Sporting Goods and Target call for gun control in the name of protecting children, but then immediately donate to Planned Parenthood. Pizza Hut markets itself as a family-friendly restaurant, but then spreads gender confusion to third graders through book programs about drag kids. And the Disney Corporation makes children's entertainment while fighting against laws designed to protect children from being taught about sex. The left loves to use the phrase enough is enough when they want to pass laws and grow big government. But it's conservatives who've really had enough. of their nonsense. At Second Vote, we do the research to expose big corporation politics by scoring hundreds of companies on traditional American values. And we want you to use Second Vote research to make better choices with your money. So please make sure you arm yourselves every day with the knowledge you need to shop smart and stop funding the left. All the research you need is available at secondvote.com. I'm Rebecca Hatfield, president of Second Vote, reminding you that your first vote is at the ballot box, but your second vote is with your wallet.
Make sure you go to secondvote.com and subscribe now using promo code Charlie for just $40 for a whole year. That's secondvote.com, promo code Charlie. About a month ago, I was in Indiana, and it was a day or two after the horrific and unspeakable tragedy of Uvalde. Now, when that tragedy happened, I began to read police reports, and I began to read some of the public information available, and something did not add up. Now, we had a good amount of information at the time, and I was, amongst others, curious as to why there was an hour interval between the police arriving and the gunman being neutralized, also known as killed. And we took a very firm stance that day. Now, I want to thank those of you in our audience that came to our defense. I came out very plainly and said for the police officers that did nothing for well over an hour, they are cowards. We received good feedback, but I have to say, in my short time of doing this, in my 10 years of activism, I have never received such nasty, terrible, personal emails in my life as to when I called a group of people that listened and watched the slaughter of children and did nothing for well over an hour, cowards. Now, I'm a big guy. I can handle it. I don't really care. But it's just interesting that you are not even allowed to say anything remotely critical of police officers in today's time. Put these images up on screen, please. Well, the recent revelations, unfortunately, and I wish I was wrong. I wish the police acted heroically. I wish the police did everything they could. New images show police officers had long guns and they had blast shields that very well could have given them the ability to go in and stop the shooter. New report shows that police could have stopped Uvalde's shooter shortly after he entered the school. The officers had weapons, the children had none, the officers had body armor, and the children had none. But the police officers, mainly Uvalde police chief by the name of Pete Arredondo, decided to issue a stand-down order, and the police officers were too busy arresting parents, and they stood there for nearly 1 hour. There is a picture of police officers with long guns and with, I think, is blast shield the technical term there? Whatever. It's a shield, okay? Not exactly well-versed on what the technical term would be there. It's a riot shield. Thank you. And so that was their excuse. They didn't have the proper equipment for a while, but for 1 hour, they stood there and did nothing. According to new reports, they could have neutralized this shooter within minutes, potentially saving lives. And now Uvalde has hired a private law firm to block the footage and the audio from the school shooting from being released, saying that it could include highly embarrassing information. Well, yeah, it reveals highly embarrassing information. Unfortunately and tragically, these police officers stood there and did nothing. Now, they were told and they gave a stand down order. Now, we said that these people were cowards back then. And we had limited evidence, but we did it based on the evidence we had available. And boy, were we right. We were right on this program, and we received so much venomous backlash. Holy moly. I could go back and I could read the emails. Charlie, I used to like you. You're a traitor to our country. How dare you say these police? I mean, we're a fact-first program. I love police officers, and I know obviously all of you do as well. But when somebody does not act with courage, when someone does not act properly, we should be unafraid to just say, that's not right. These kids died. You're standing there with a riot shield and a long gun, and you're doing nothing. You got to be honest, or else nothing will ever improve. Honesty is the most important thing. And I understand that people, they say, well, Charlie, you are playing into the anti-police rhetoric of BLM. Knock it off. You're accusing me of being sympathetic to BLM? Like, do maybe 10 seconds of research about my commentary the last couple years before you even put BLM and Charlie Kirk in the same sentence, okay? We were one of the first programs ever to come against the black squares, defending the police, you name it. But in this situation, you got to all of a sudden be fact first. You can't just put on your team jersey and say, well, you know, we defend the police no matter what. No, kids are dead. It's not right. When you are fact first, you are able to see wherever they lead you and give you the honest commentary. And you know you could always trust, for those of you that want to know, you know, what is the Charlie Kirk Show all about? We're going to follow the facts wherever they lead us. We're going to tell you where they lead. That's what an honest program does, not one that is just worried about team right or team left or whatever that nonsense is. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.